I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. I'm here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk Live. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical engineer Frank and I are ready to roll. And we're going to be talking about some national rewriting that's going on here. We're going to be talking about the DNA studies. Also, we're going to be talking about some ancient secrets. We're going to have some medical secrets to talk, ancient ones that really work still today. And also, if we have time, we'll talk about if you have anxiety and fear, what's the difference between, you know, true fear and unwarranted fear, and how you can control that fear. So we're going to be talking about lots of stuff and the Quack Report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fighter, righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting them up in prayer, praying for them. Praying for all of America, I'm praying for righteous leadership, and praying for the American people to have godly wisdom and discernment, right? Yeah, so when you go to vote for your political representatives, you will cast a vote for a righteous person, because we need some truth and justice. We need to plead for that in this country. Lines getting too blurred there, and so see the Lord's face, mind the time, because it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the Quack Report. Thanks, Frank. What do we have here in the Quacker? Let's see. First up is nail polish. All you ladies out there, who paint your American women. Wow, they spent like $768 million on nail polish in 2012, but it's up 32% now this year. Oh, goodness. New study conducted by Duke University and the Environmental Working Group, they discovered some very toxic chemicals in the bodies of women who recently got their fingernails painted. 25% of the polish contains TPHP, which didn't have it listed on the label. So triphenyl phosphate, TPHP, is a plasticizer, also used in nail polish and also as a flame retardant on furniture. Detected in the urine of women who volunteered to participate in the study. So they found that women, that when they applied the nail polish, the TPHP directly from the nails, levels were in the urine, biomarker of the chemical was in the urine, increased sharply. Technically, researchers tested the women's urine for the chemical diferyl phosphate, or DPHP, which is created when the body metabolizes the TPHP. So anyway, it causes endocrine disruption, interferes with normal hormone function, and in animal studies, the TPHP can cause reproductive and developmental irregularities. Now, the CDC says repeated exposure to TPHP can cause minor changes in your blood enzymes. Overexposure can cause muscle weakness and paralysis. So 2 to 6 hours after they got their nails painted, 24 to 26 volunteers in the study had slightly elevated levels in their urine, but 10 to 14 hours later, the DPHP levels in all the participants had risen on average of sevenfold. So it seemed to peak 10 to 24 hours after they got their nails painted, the concentration of those chemicals. So, might want to watch the nail polish, the girls. Last but not least in the Quack Report, here's a man, a Dutch filmmaker, Sasha Harland in The Hague. He did an experiment 30 days. He went off sugar and alcohol for 30 days and wanted to see what would happen. So he picked up the challenge. So he got rid of sugar, artificial flavorings, junk food, alcohol for a whole month. They documented the whole process and his physical and emotional changes. So before the experiment began, he did get his health tested, went and had a physical. Apparently, pretty reasonably healthy guy, although his cholesterol levels and his blood pressure were slightly off. So after the checkup, though, he realized, you know, everything that was in his kitchen he had to throw away because even the iced tea had 10 lumps of sugar in it. His stir-fry sauce is 15 lumps of sugar per package, and the tomato soup, 5 lumps of sugar per bowl. Oh, my. So sugar and flavoring seems to hide in almost all the processed foods that people, you know, pick up at the market. So that forced him to go to fresh vegetables and fruits, water, eggs, whole grains. So that became his main staple of food sources during this whole time in this experiment. So, you know, kicking that sugar addiction is a pesky little thing. You go through some withdrawal, some detoxing, if you will. So during the first week, Sasha said he felt tired and he craved sweet and salty snacks. Oh, I've been there. I mean, I think people know what we're talking about. So he couldn't really find a drink other than water because everything else had sugar, alcohol, or some sort of flavoring in it. So by day four, he says, I was pretty cranky and hungry. But things got better. Things got better. He started to feel better without the sweets and alcohol and preserved foods. So if you go fast forward to 25 days in his experiment, he says that for the first time, he really didn't crave anything sweet anymore. His last week of the month, he says it was a lot easier. He had lots of energy to spare. He says very pleasantly surprised that this experiment would make such a difference in his physical constitution. So he felt the difference. He went to the physician again. They checked him out. His blood pressure went from 135 to 125. He lost 8 pounds, and his cholesterol went down 8%, and his blood sugar levels were much lower than before as well. So he concluded that a month without sugar, flavorings, and alcohol, so the beginning was a little hard, but eventually when that detoxed out of his system, everything went very well, he said. So there's a little, perky story for you, give you some hope out there if you're trying to kick the sugar and all that good stuff. In the end, it works out to your advantage. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Well, you know, processed salt, not good for you. It gives you hypertension, as people are aware. But, you know, sun-dried salt, which has the microminerals in it, for electrolytes, and it's cardiovascular friendly, that salt actually squelches a lot of your sugar cravings. So if you're trying to kick sugar, you can take a pinch of that salt. Won't give you hypertension. Yeah, if you're looking for that, folks at Apothecary Herbs have that for you at thepowerherbs.com. And, of course, if you're trying to detox, they have those too. You can give them a call for a free catalog at 866-229-3663. Okay, we're going to be talking about this national rewrite. We got three areas we want you to consider. They are, what does the human DNA, political correctness, and the foundations of the world have to do with one another? I know it kind of sounds like a Johnny Carson question, doesn't it? The great Carnac? Yeah. Well, the answer is a strong influence is erasing a nation, its sovereignty, and culture. So you're going to be amazed how this puzzle fits together as we progress to a time already prophesized about. So let's take a look at this bigger picture and see what level of mass destruction is really being carried out on a daily basis and how and what we can do to protect ourselves. Well, let's look at these DNA studies. These are real important. Researchers in California at the Institute of Heart Math are studying epigenetics, which involves human DNA and the influences from the environment on DNA. So for 20 years, this team of scientists have been identifying emotions like love, anger, anxiety, and appreciation or gratitude, and how they are influenced. For instance, a person who changes their mental perspective from being negative to being positive, they say it will influence your DNA. And this would explain that if you think positive while you're doing your exercise routines, you'll have a significant positive boost in your immune system for several hours. Now, according to the Bloomberg Business, in 2012, science discovered how to alter human genomes with what they call their DNA scissors. So science claims that they can now correct DNA strings and remove mutations that might cause disease. So altering DNA proteins has led to some controversial debates regarding bioethics that were discussed in the Journal of Science. And no doubt, this avenue of research has landed a scientist or two a Nobel Prize, but at what cost? Redesigning DNA for good can also be used for evil. So this is a dangerous complication, a defect in man's DNA. It's called power. So no matter how you sugarcoat it, you can't get by the fact that genome editing is human editing. So the designer babies come to mind, as well as, you know, where Hitler left off with his superior race. So the reality is, by the time the public hears about this manipulation of God's creation, it's already been covertly implemented. So if it is already implemented, it is now altering a vast majority of the population. So how can I say this? Well, genome engineering is power, which is not easily declined. You know, man likes power. Yes, there are some scientists in the field, you know, that want to apply the brakes on this, you know, as stated in the Journal of Nature. They say it's not a good thing. So this power is vast and it's wide sweeping, though. For example, it can be used to determine eye color, if animals will produce venom, what trees will be allowed to grow, and what viruses your immune system can vanquish. Yeah. Now, it seems that your biological blood and tissue is no longer your personal property. See? So human cells are supposedly under the power and control of genome engineers. However, the real question is, who's in control of the engineers? Let me read you this quote from Korean researchers at the Center for Genome Engineering at Seoul's Institute for Basic Science. They said this, pretty brief, but to the point. They said, the whole genome is under our control. Well, kind of, I guess they can read you like a book, you know? Your biological DNA to scientists is just like a bunch of readable code. Like a book, it can be rewritten. Computer algorithms with strings of data can help the scientists crack codes. So science looks at DNA as the code that runs the human hard drive or any living thing. So your DNA is just digital technology to science. So it is now possible for science to give DNA an upgrade or wipe it clean. So this means that scientific interference will soon prevent you from tracking your ancestry through DNA. Think about that. A generation with no heritage puts a whole new perspective on personal identity and loyalty, doesn't it? Well, let's look at the DNA scissors for a little bit here. What better way, though, to assure that society undergoes a social and moral makeover than with treatments said to be part of healthcare? Yeah, it's good for you. According to author Harris Coulter of Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality, the attack on the human brain by scientific medicine is a guarded secret. He reports that scientific research has existed since 1922 that shows that vaccines cause encephalitis and is especially prevalent with the DBT vaccine. So Coulter lists the clinical research for the common disabilities that vaccines deliver as short attention span and poor retention and concentration, hyperactivity and impulsive behavior, temper tantrums, rage and hostility, self-absorbed alienation and abusive behaviors, clumsiness and poor coordination, stubbornness, low frustration threshold, genital fixations, lack of respect for person or property, obsessive compulsive behaviors, and ticks and twitches. And you see a lot of that, don't you? You hear about it all the time, all those symptoms. Now, the U.S. Mental Health Survey showed a rate of psychopathic and personality disorders and other mental illnesses significantly higher in individuals born after 1940, and that was reported in Time magazine in 1984. So a generation later, in 1963, the IQ scores were so low that the aptitude test had to be dumbed down to make it easier to pass. So Coulter reports that 15 to 20% of school-aged children in the U.S. have some form of a developmental or neurological problem. He suggests that the social violence and personality disorders like narcissistic and sociopathic disorders can be linked to vaccines. He explains that vaccines containing the mercury cause encephalitis, a swelling in the brain, leads to post-encephalitic conditions and personality disorders. His research has actually led him to uncover the following. In the 1930s, the vaccine programs were instituted. By the 40s, cases of autistic children appear. After World War II, vaccine programs were expanded and autistic cases increased significantly. The first generation of vaccine babies of 1945 show reading problems. New developmental problems appear, learning disabilities and hyperactivity and dyslexia. Lower IQ scores by 1963. The 40s generation on military exams for service was the big indicator. The IQ scores from these vaccine children dropped 40 points in the IQ. Violent crime increased associated with post-encephalactic syndrome, an increase in crimes of sexual nature, increase in crimes committed by those with a lack of remorse, increase on drug dependency like alcohol and illegal drugs. He also mentions homosexuality and post-encephalitic syndrome, and he says Europe has got similar demographics but at a lesser extent. So, okay, so now you've got the DNA scissors, and they're being used in syringes, apparently. And now let's look at the PC part of it all. You know, people are kind of shocked to hear that political correctness is a religion. It comes from humanism. So, and it holds no allegiance or nor acknowledges a creator. So political correctness reinterprets history to reform societies and cultures. Now, in some instances, political correctness, also known as PC, defames history and rewrites it. So there's really no room for diversity in a PC society. It is a psyop to water down and wash away history. It washes away heritage and truth. So PC's goal is to remove all but a one world religion. So the foundations that give us a moral foothold in all these areas of life are being destroyed. So let me read you this quote from George Orwell from his book of 1984. He says, "Every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue and street building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. And the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right." So the people in power. He goes on to say, "The very concept of objective truth is fading out of the world. Lies will pass into history." End of quote. Wow. Well, even one of the presidential candidates, Donald Trump, said, "You know, this country is so politically correct, nobody wants to take a stance on anything." Mm-hmm. People are afraid. So Pastor John Weaver says, "Political correctness destroys individuality, independence, and integrity. Those that adhere to the religion of political correctness no longer think for themselves." End of quote. So who started the PC movement? Well, in 1923, at the Frankfurt School in Germany, the powers wanted to usher in totalitarian collectivism using political correctness. So you can't take down the West solely with economics. You have to tear down their infrastructure of traditions like marriage, family, culture, and you got to weaken them from the inside further with immoral sexual activities and inadequate education. So this is a reconstruction of a nation, and it's war, but without firing a shot. So the Frankfurt School recommended the reconstruction of a nation as follows. Let me see if this rings a bell. One, the creation of racism offenses. Continual change to create confusion, keep people off their guard, you know. The teaching of sex and homosexuality to children. The undermining of schools and teachers' authority. The huge immigration to destroy national identity. The promotion of excessive drinking. Emptying of the churches. The unreliable legal system with bias against victims of crime. Dependency on the state or state benefits. Control and dumbing down of the media. And encouraging the breakdown of the family. You know, where all the definitions of what family is just being blurred and rewritten to mean something else. So who said what's right or what's wrong? You know, our whole moral structure in which laws were built upon came from the Holy Scriptures. Therefore, God has said what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil, what's bitter and what's sweet. So many PhD and psychological experts have said that children need and want rules or boundaries to grow up with because it helps them define who they are. So what will a generation do when boundaries are no more, when the words mother and father have been legally replaced with the generic term parent? You can plug anything into that, parent. Confusion actually will come when there's really no, when there's a non-gender society is basically what we're going to. So how loyal can anyone be to non-specific roles where there's no rules? They've all been thrown away. Society is really under mass manipulation, behavior modification techniques, and gender confusion as a way to grab power. Here's what former intelligent analyst and author Stella Morabito, she's the author of Mass Delusion, she says, a centralized power must have ignorance and an effective propaganda. Yeah. How they doing? Well, Psalms 11 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, foundations, which is, you know, marriage, family, church, you know, faith. All right, so if we go to Isaiah 50, it says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You see the confusion there? Yeah, it's the confusion. And then if we go to Psalms 94, it says, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with you, which frames mischief by law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. And lastly, Matthew 24, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. So, you know, when you throw the rule book away, what do you have? You have chaos and destruction. Right? But, you know, we can fight for righteousness, you know, because as the world looks to and becomes more dependent on this world's one world religion operating on the illusion of right and wrong, it's going to become even more important for you and me to be anchored in God's word and his way. So biblical illiteracy is killing America. Remember, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. And God says, so I will also reject you, for you will be not a priest to me, and seeing that you have forgotten my law, I will also forget thy children. That's Hosea 4. So God doesn't have to destroy man. All he has to do is walk away, and we'll destroy ourselves. So believers need to be steadfast, never deny the Lord God, and we can trust in him and his deliverance. Remember, God says herbs are here for the service of man in Psalms 104? So you can actually protect your immune system and strengthen it with God's herbs. You can cleanse away and detox, get the toxins, the heavy metals from the vaccines out with God's herbs. So there is a measure of strength and healing in herbs that science hasn't been able to explain. So they deny it. They deny the power thereof. So if you'd like to learn more how you can move forward with the confidence of using God's good herbs, then, you know, to keep your health up, give Apothecary Herbs a call. They'll send you a free product catalog. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277 or visit them online, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. It puts the power in your hands. That's what you like. You want to feel empowered in this day and age. I do. Oh, got to take a break. More on the other side. Be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Wendy Wilson, and we're going to be talking about some ancient healthcare secrets. You know, because our allopathic medical establishment, you know, has secrets of its own, right? A lot of people just aren't aware that modern medicine actually originated in pagan witchcraft, going all the way back to the Babylonian Empire. If you want to trace back the histories, the roots of your scientific healthcare, you know, you just need to get Dr. True Ott's DVD, History of Medicine, and he'll walk you right through it. It is just amazing what you'll find in that thing. He's got a website, ME, for MotherEarthMinerals.com. You can order it there. It's you know, not expensive. But it will just open your eyes to what we're dealing with in healthcare, which means that first segment of the show I just did makes a whole bunch more sense. AMA physicians actually every day practice alchemy in a lot of their basic treatment when it comes to your vaccinations. It's on a theory, and I mean a theory of like cures like. And artificial infections, you know, never been proven to protect you or prevent anything. But that's what's in the literature, and that's what people are believing. So I do encourage you to get Dr. True Ott's DVD, History of Medicine. Visit his website, Mother Earth Minerals, so meminerals.com, and check it out. Oh, if you don't have internet, I think his office number is 866-989-9876. I believe he's in like the Midwest area, so mountain time. So it's 866-989-9876 for Dr. Ott's office. And you want the History of Medicine. That's what you want to see. You want to see that DVD. So nearly 20 years ago, you know, I kind of realized one of the world's best kept secrets wasn't about the pyramids and who built them or Stonehenge and what that ancient thing's about. The best-kept secret, really, is an ancient lie convincing everyone that you can't get any kind of benefit from herbs. They're impotent. Well, you know, if you think about it, didn't medicine, you know, start out with pharmaceutical drugs using chemicals from herbs? So the herbs weren't any benefit. Why were they using them? So I realized that ancient herbalists of the 1800s actually knew a lot more than what physicians knew about, you know, herbal medicine and what works and what doesn't. So petrochemicals aren't the same as your plant-based herbs. So herbal medicine really is the world's best-kept secret. And I decided to share it after, you know, a real life event happened as a new mother, one of my children got sick, and I saw herbs just practically save his life, and I just was, it just amazed. Blew me away. Had to go learn more, so I went to herb school. So let's take a look at another example of how you can empower yourself with herbs. Let's take whooping cough. People are afraid of whooping cough. Even modern medicine's afraid of whooping cough. And, you know, we heard about the whooping cough cases out on the West Coast recently. And it turns out that a majority, if not all, of those people were vaccinated with whooping cough that got whooping cough. So whooping cough, though, is really not life-threatening to a healthy child. Okay? They'll scare parents into saying, well, your child could die, could have brain damage if he gets whooping cough, so you got to take this vaccine. But if your child's healthy and not malnourished, whooping cough does not do that. It's called pertussis whooping cough, and the whooping cough vaccine is called the DPT for diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus. It's all in one. And it's kind of been a controversial thing. What is in the DPT? Well, it's made of purified acellular pertussis, they say, whooping cough bacteria, which is supposedly has less toxins in it. But some experts say it can cause neurological complications, as we've just heard from Dr. Coulter's research, it can. So some of the complications that have been reported from the pertussis vaccine or the whooping cough vaccine are convulsions, mental retardation, learning disabilities, physical handicaps, and even death. So, you know, and the reason is, if whooping cough isn't deadly to a healthy child, why is the vaccine? Well, the vaccine is an artificial infection. It's not the natural way your body would come in contact with the bacteria. And when your body naturally encounters viruses and bacteria, it goes through stages within the body, and it alerts your immune system. And with each stage that the infection progresses, usually within 5 to 7 days, by the time you start to show symptoms, your body's already manufactured an antibody for it to kill it. But when you get an artificial infection in a vaccine, virologists will tell you it bypasses all those safeguards that your immune system has in order to initiate the immune system to make an antibody. So if the initiation sequence isn't active, then the body's not going to make an antibody. And once the infection is in the bloodstream, the body just thinks it's supposed to be there. So the immune system doesn't really do anything with it. And then that infection sits in your tissues and probably just waits for an opportune moment to do something. Well, you know, so we got some problems with the alchemy, with the heavy metal mercury in the vaccines, which is really an ancient form of witchcraft, and that's what's in our modern medicine today. So a study of 215,000 Swedish children that got the whooping cough vaccine, the DPT shot, showed a rate of 1 in 17,000 of permanent brain damage. And, you know, when you go to your pediatrician office, they'll say it's only 1 in 100,000. Well, that's with severe, usually they say, reactions. But for every 1 in 100, there's one. For every 1 in 100,000, there's 1 in 100 with other reactions. Maybe not, like, threatening, but other reactions. Like, you know, brain damage. Not death, but brain damage, right? So how many medical and governmental authorities use this 1981 British study, which showed 1 in 110,000 children do suffer neurological damage, but it's 1 in 310,000 that here have irreversible neurological damage from one whooping cough or DPT shot. U.S. physicians misquote these figures, and most children receive more than one DPT shot. So the public is really not aware that the British used different whole cell pertussis bacterium, which is scientifically less potent than the U.S. pertussis vaccine. So why do I bring that up? Well, whooping cough, there is a successful natural way, actually, to deal with whooping cough that has been around for hundreds of years. So I'm going to talk about what you may be missing, and that's thyme, T-H-Y-M-E. A lot of people look at it as a herb for seasoning culinary dishes, but hey, The ancient herbalists knew that thyme, in conjunction with other immune-boosting herbs for whooping cough, were excellent at dealing with the condition. Thyme really has this antiseptic-like quality, as well as being an effective germicide. So thyme actually has a germicide that kills the whooping cough bacteria while it makes it easier for the child to breathe without any antispasmodic action. Okay? So it calms the coughing down. Herbalists have also used thyme, they used it for 100 years for other respiratory ailments like asthma, also stomach and bowel problems and uterine issues. So one of the other thyme's benefits is that it can soothe the nerve endings of the pulmonary, the chest, where there you get this coughing, the spasmodic coughing from the pertussis infection. So the thyme calms that down so, you know, children can breathe easier and can get some rest. So the secret has been kind of hidden for hundreds of years from a lot of people. And there's over 60 varieties of thyme all over the world. So every culture has access to it. Now, thyme was actually the basic ingredient in the famous Listerine antiseptic mouthwash. Mm-hmm. So young children usually prefer thyme tea. But, you know, you can use a concentrate and just use doses by weight if you have a tincture, for instance. So if you're using tea, I would mix a little honey, maybe use a tablespoon of the thyme, make a cup of tea, and then use some honey to sweeten it. But this herb tea is going to be pretty potent. If you need something a little more powerful, use the tincture and do a dose by weight. And children under 100 pounds, it's really easy to do doses by weight, and the folks at Apothecary will show you how to do that. So a tincture is like a half to a full teaspoon per dose. And for small children, you'd use a little less than that, so you'd use doses by weight. So if you put in a little organic apple juice or you can actually use vinegar sometimes. Apple vinegar helps cut a lot of that phlegm. The vinegar's a bit stronger. So if you can get the person with the whooping cough to take the vinegar, it will cut that phlegmy, foamy stuff in the throat. So if you're looking for some thyme tincture or tea, the folks at Apothecary have both. And you can just check it out online at thepowerherbs.com, or you can give them a call, ask for a free product catalog. The number's toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. And by the way, for those in Canada or other parts of the United States who have been on the website trying to purchase and our shipping module decided to go crazy and was giving some sort of outrageous ship fee, I apologize. It was fixed today. So you should get the real-time ship quote. Shouldn't be outrageous. Should be within normal limits there. But technology, isn't it great? Mm. All right. We're going to talk about fear because as the expert in security analyst and expert, Gavin De Becker, and also the author of The Gift of Fear, he says, true fear is a gift. Unwanted fear is a curse. Learn to tell the difference. Yeah, because, you know, even in the good book, the Bible says we shouldn't be fearful because that's of the devil, and we could be concerned. It's healthy to be concerned, but not to the point of fear, where it can really disrupt our reasoning, discernment. So we got to be careful. So we got parts of the world that, you know, kind of been living with a lot of fear, terroristic type of fear for a long time. America is kind of new to the whole terrorism thing. People are just very anxious these days. They don't know who to trust as far as the news reports. And so this brings about a bit of anxiety and fear. Now, fear does have its advantages, though, the right kind. Fear certainly makes us uncomfortable, but it's really one of our survival instincts. Okay? So anyone that has been in a threatening situation will experience some heightened senses. You'll have some chemical releases in the body. The adrenal glands will rush the endorphins through, and you have that fight or flight response. So if you pick up Gavin De Becker's book, The Gift of Fear, you're going to learn a lot about how you can protect yourself from some very serious situations. I encourage anybody that has experienced any violence to pick up this book, because it gives you some settlement and peace as to know how to deal moving forward. So there was one real story that De Becker did have in his book. It involved a young woman who was living in an upstairs apartment in a big city, and she found herself in his office trying to remember the details of her attacker. She said she had, you know, stopped at the grocery store. She remembered that on her way home. She had a few grocery bags in her arms as she entered her apartment house. She said a key was needed to enter the breezeway, which led to the staircase. So she closed the breezeway door behind her and then started up her first flight of stairs to her second floor apartment. But before she reached that first landing, she dropped a can of cat food, and it rolled down a few steps before it was caught by a very nice-looking young man. He smiled and was very charming, offered to carry one of the bags for her, and she said she felt uneasy, and she didn't know why. Okay? So she thanked him, but she refused his help, but he was persistently polite. So he did take one of the bags from her arms and walked up the stairs with her, asking her about her cat, you know, cat food, can of cat food. So De Becker already knew the details of the attack, and so the man forced her into the apartment, sexually assaulted her, and De Becker pressed her while in his office to answer some of his questions. He asked her, why did you feel uneasy when you first met this assailer, this man on the stairs? She said she really didn't know why, but De Becker says to her, you do know, your unconscious mind knows. So she thought about it, and it occurred to her that she didn't hear the breezeway door open and close behind him, who would have entered in after her. So that meant, her subconscious mind meant, alert, alert, warning, Will Robinson, he was waiting underneath the stairs for a victim. So her unconscious mind knew before that, and her conscious mind kind of just, you know, pushed it aside and rationalized it away. How many times have you done that? I've done that. You know, I've kind of given somebody the benefit of the doubt when I shouldn't have, right? So anyway, so she, after the attack, she managed to sneak out of her apartment, went across the hall to a neighbor and called the police. It was after the fact that, because he had gotten up to get a glass of water in the kitchen, and it was after the fact she learned that he had also taken one of the butcher knives out of her kitchen drawer, and he was a serial killer. He was about to, you know, dismember her, had she not escaped. So she said she was very afraid, and she said she almost felt paralyzed with fear. But her will to live overrode that. So in Gavin De Becker's book, The Gift of Fear, you're going to learn to pick up some subtle signs of danger. Most violent acts are predictable, he says. So when someone offers unsolicited help and won't take no for an answer, he said that should be a big red flag. He said, did anyone involved in the security Boston Marathon, did they, anybody have gut instincts that didn't listen to them and act on them? There's a question. So, you know, your gut instinct is there for a reason. So I think the book, The Gift of Fear, can be helpful and insightful, help you be more aware of your surroundings, okay? You know, we have a lot of distressing events. But, you know, there's time to soothe the mind without having to take a stiff drink or to smoke a pack of cigarettes, which most people turn to when they're distressed. Some may turn to illegal substances to forget what upsets them for just a little while. So nicotine, alcohol, and drugs offer only temporary relief, but it's really not the answer and can create another problem, substance abuse. So there is some things that we can do to take the edge off our anxiety without using narcotics, without, you know, lowering our coordination and our mental faculties, impair our judgment or any of that. So instead of reaching for substances that can impair your judgment, you might want to reach for some herbs that can provide some system comfort through nutrition to help you deal with stressful circumstances to cope better, so you're not so fearful and anxious. So control really doesn't mean to suppress or ignore the situation, but it does mean that you'll be able to cope with it more confidently. Okay? So, think of it this way. An airplane coming in for a landing, that's called a controlled crash. So, unexpected events can crash into your life. So, but let's make sure it's under as much control as humanly possible. Okay? You be in control. You feel safe and more in control as much as possible. So one of the things that I like to do is I use a couple of herbs. I've mentioned ginseng before, but when you use in conjunction with other herbs, it helps to nourish your organs and soothe your mind and improves not only your eyesight, but also will stop unnecessary heart palpitations and give you more control, especially if you're in a fight or flight response. So ginseng is one of your great Panax herbs. Panax is Greek for all healing or a panacea, if you will. They used it in ancient Rome. It was also so great that it was used as currency for a while. Ginseng is also an immune system stimulant. Athletes all over the world use ginseng for stamina and endurance and enhances their natural abilities without them blowing their drug tests. So Danish researchers also, through some double-blind studies, prove that ginseng improves memory, abstract thinking, and your reaction time. It's also known to support your filtering organs of your heart, as well as other organs that filter out toxins. So it processes toxins more quickly to get them out of the body. So ginseng is also known to help with metabolic functions like breathing, digestion, reflexes, sleep, strength, and sexual function, by the way. It also delivers more oxygen flow to your lungs and elevates your health status. And more oxygen-rich blood around the body will elevate your health status. So it will stimulate your cerebral cortex, regulating your metabolic functions and increase your survival duration, you know, to resist dangerous threats. Very good for adrenal glands, your thyroid, your thymus glands that help you survive, if you will, in stressful situations. So what I like also to do is I'll pair that with some valerian root. Valerian root is my choice for nervousness, irritability, anxiety, panic attacks, depression, and it's non-addictive. And it's not a sedative. It's not a narcotic, okay? So it just takes the tension off the nervous system without suppressing it. And so you'll still be alert. Coordination's there. You can still drive a car and that kind of thing. So if you do have muscle tension, you know, like you can't relax, you're too uptight, try lobelia. It really takes the tension out of muscles. And you can use that with your ginseng and with your valerian root because it works on different systems. So if you're interested in your ginseng, your valerian root, or your lobelia, which we call relaxation formula, you can check them all out at thepowerherbs.com. There is a section tab called anxiety, panic attacks, depression. Check that out. It's there. It's a liquid. And a lot of people say, well, I've tried valerian root before, and it really just didn't do much. Well, that's because you didn't use it in a liquid. Liquids don't need digestion. They're in the system in 60 seconds, giving you relief. So, and they're more concentrated. You can adjust the dose more easily. So check that out, thepowerherbs.com. Be more in control, less fearful. Or if you do have fear, make sure it's the right kind of fear, right? True fear is a gift. Unwanted fear is a curse. Learn to tell the difference. Gavin De Becker, The Gift of Fear. Check out his book. It's really great. 866-229-3663. Call for your free catalog. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.